darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk on this historic Monday. So glad that you've joined the program. Abraham Hamilton III here, and you are listening to the Hamilton Corner. And I am greatly appreciative of your willingness to allow me to accompany you as you're making your way from your part-time job, many of you, to your full-time jobs where you are transitioning from whatever you do in your income-generating capacity. That's a part-time job. But your full-time jobs are those of husbands, fathers, wives, mothers, brothers, sons, daughters. What you do in the family is your full-time job. So this is an incredibly, I would say, exciting Monday, historic Monday, and I'll get into this later in the program, but today, May 14th, 2018, commemorates the 70th, you heard me, 70th anniversary of the reconstitution of the nation of Israel. You know, on May 14th, 1948, after the nation of Israel had been vacated by the Jewish people, that the nation was reconstituted. And since then, in these 70 years, it's been 70 years since that happened. And it just so happened to be a little coinkydink that though there have been scores of presidents who've promised this before, though legislation was passed in 1995 under former President Bill Clinton to relocate the U.S. Embassy to Israel, to Jerusalem, today, on the 70th anniversary, the United States Embassy to Israel was moved to Jerusalem, and it was officially opened today. Folks, this is nothing short of historic. There have been lots of people flapping their gums about it, but one person did it. One president did it. One administration did it. What was promised in 1995 came to pass in 2018. This is amazing. It's nothing short of amazing. And I trust and pray that all of you had a wonderful weekend. I tried to give you gentlemen a little hint on Friday that Sunday was Mother's Day. Happy belated Mother's Day to all of the wonderful moms who listen to the Hamilton Corner. You literally are instrumental to not only shaping your individual families, but by shaping your families, you shape our nation's future. And that is a fact. That is an absolute fact. So I hope the gentlemen who listened to the program, they took my hint from Friday and made sure that your wives and mothers and the women in your lives who are mothers were taken care of. And also, for many people, just as much as it's celebration for many people, there are many others who it's a day of mourning. I mean, some have lost mothers. Some I've known some women who grieve during Mother's Day over past abortions and things of that nature. So I also pray that those of you who are listening to the program, you also were able to be a comfort to those around you who would need that extra attention or that extra touch, that extra sensitivity around these times so that the true love of Jesus Christ can be conveyed. And lastly, I'll say on this that I truly hope that all of us, we move beyond allowing ourselves to be superficial celebrants, and we get beyond, you know, the materialism of the various days of celebration, and that we actually connect with the hearts of those whom we love, and that they, not only that we love them, but they know that we love them, and we express our love to them in the way that they are able to receive that love. Amen. Amen. Well, we'll begin the program on this historic Monday. Some of you might see the flag behind me. You don't see that flag in the studio all the time. Well, it's not every day that it's the 70th anniversary of the nation of Israel's reformation. And it's not every day that the U.S. Embassy to Israel gets moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. That's big, folks. And actually, before we came on the air, I'll just tell y'all this. Jeff and I were praying together. And we must never forget, the Bible tells us that those who bless the nation of Israel, God himself blesses. So I am simply saying, and crying out to the Lord that he would take our nation's expressed public demonstration of our commitment to the nation of Israel and utilize it as a source and as a mechanism to bless our nation. And to be quite frank about it, it's not that we deserve it. It's not because we've earned anything. This doesn't automatically erase the rank debauchery that arises before the nostrils of our Lord and King based on our sinful nation. And let's just be honest about it. But I tell you what, God is rich in mercy. And his arms have not waxed short. And he's not one that goes back on his word. So when he says he'll bless those who bless Israel, and I'll be more specific with you, I asked the Lord to bless our nation with grace for repentance and grace for his gospel to be cascaded from sea to shining sea, from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific, from the border with Toronto, with Canada in the north, and our border in the south, that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the fire of the Spirit of God, would penetrate our nation so that we could have people to transition from the doldrums of darkness into his marvelous light. That's my prayer for our nation. I'm not asking for money. I'm not asking for, I'm not even asking for, at least at the top of my head, it's not even international peace treaties, whatever you want to call those. We need the Lord. We need salvation in our nation. Our nation needs to repent. Our nation needs to repent. So that is what I'm asking the Lord to do for us in light of our willingness to step out and stand with Israel. All right, man, I talked too long. Hebrews chapter 12 is where I'm going today, and I got to get right to it. Get right to it. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 6 is what I'm going to share. Here we go. And then remember, Hebrews 12 follows Hebrews chapter 11, which is commonly referred to as the hall of faith. So here we go. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, or the King James says, which so easily besets. And let us run with endurance or patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. Right out of the gate, verse 1 in chapter 12, and it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight. This is referring to the witnesses laid out in chapter 11 of Hebrews, referring to those men who were sawn asunder and who stood to the loss of their own lives, many of whom were martyred. The Hebrew writer saying, in light of the life and testimony and witness of this great cloud of witnesses, let us therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us therefore lay aside every weight and the sin in light of their example. And one of the most potent and powerful instructions from this is that here, these are men who God has operated through, who are flesh and blood just like us. So just as they were able to run their races, we should utilize their examples in encouraging us and spurring us on to live our lives of faithfulness to the Lord. To say it in another way, one of the major purposes of the Lord granting us the privilege of being a part of his body and being a part of local assemblies is that we get to glean from the testimonies of our brethren. That's why in Revelation it says, for we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That overcoming is not merely individually overcoming. it also conveys the horizontal overcoming. When I talk to Jeff and Jeff shares with me how the Lord was faithful to him and his testimony from where he came from, that encouraged me to say, oh man, if God can do that in the life of Jeff, why can't he do that in my life? So that's what the Hebrew writer is referring to. And then it says, let us lay aside all the sin and every weight. Sometimes the things that hinder us is not necessarily the overt Hollywood flashing lights, Las Vegas style sins. Sometimes there are things that are just weights. Paul wrote that all things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. Not everything is expedient. Good things can become idols in our lives that become opponents to God's will for our lives. Let us lay aside the sin, of course, and every weight, which means us as Christ followers, we have to augment our evaluation mechanism to where we not only say, is this one of these flashing light, Las Vegas, Hollywood style sins? We have to go to the next level of analysis and say, is this a weight? Is this something that is an opponent to God's continual desire for us to grow, for me to increase, for me to be conformed ever the more to the character and nature of Jesus Christ? And then it goes further in verse 2, looking to Jesus, who is the founder and perfecter. So then it goes from the cloud of witnesses, the Hall of Fame members of chapter 11, then goes to Jesus himself as our example that should be our inspiration for how we pursue our relationship with the King. And I'm gonna go forward. There's so much I wanted to say, but I talked too long in the earliest part. The major thing I wanted to get to is right in the verses 5 and 6, when the Hebrew writer says, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." Brothers and sisters, correction from God is evidence, is tangible evidence. Conviction from the Spirit of God is tangible evidence that the Lord loves us. See, from the outside looking in, conviction from the Spirit of God and correction from the Lord looks as though it is punitive. But that would be to the uninitiated, because those of us who are following him, we begin to realize that the Lord loves us so much, he will not allow us to continue on in erroneous patterns. So by his grace and because of his love, he intervenes in our lives and introduces us to conviction. In John chapter 16, for example, the Bible says that one of the primary roles that the Spirit of the Lord would play in our lives is that this Holy Spirit would convict men of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And I can offer to you, without fear of successful contradiction, that Holy Spirit is doing his job. So the only way for you and I to continue on while we are professing to be believers, yet remaining unchanged, immature, lifestyle patterns are not reflecting the holiness of our God, to where we excuse sinful life patterns and weights that have become habitual crutches in our lives, we excuse them by saying, well, these are just my personalities. I say, Lord, and the Bible teaches us, yeah, that may be your personality, but Jesus came and died and was resurrected to change our personalities, to replace our old ways with the evidence of the Spirit's residence, otherwise referred to as the fruit of the Spirit. So the only way you and I can perpetually proclaim to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, yet remain untransformed, is by developing the new lifestyle habit of resisting and rejecting the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And to you, I would say, just as a Hebrew writer, my brethren, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. For the Lord corrects those whom he loves. If we are going to follow the Lord, let us fall on the rock and be broken so the Lord can take our muddy, ruddy, conformed portions and make us brand new. Let the metamorphosis that is made available to us through following the Lord Jesus Christ begin with us. And as we are transformed, were able to become agents of that very same transformation.
A fake Facebook profile is uncovered in court. Hi, I'm Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. New information came forward in a frivolous lawsuit from the New York Attorney General against pro-life sidewalk counselors. The AG's star witness is an abortion clinic employee, but she created a fake Facebook profile and posed as a pro-life Christian. Her mission was to entrap pro-life sidewalk counselors who peacefully speak in front of the abortion clinic in Jamaica, New York. The AG's office knew about the fake account, but took no steps to ensure the investigation was not tainted. It is inexcusable that the highest legal officer of New York State would act as a pawn of the abortion industry and attack the free speech rights of peaceful, pro-life citizens. Please pray for this case as Liberty Counsel defends free speech and the sanctity of human life, and stay informed at Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. Join with us as we advance religious freedom, life, and family.
I feel so hopeless.
Is there any hope? I just feel like there's no hope at all.
Is there any hope?
Get hope.
Ever felt like all your efforts, time, investment, and hard work are bringing little or no return?
That's TWR President Lauren Libby.
Well, I certainly have. Jesus once asked his followers to feed 5,000 people, and they replied, "How do you want us to do this?" So Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 little fish from a boy in the crowd and fed everybody there with 12 baskets full of leftovers. His followers had worked hard to accomplish an impossible task, but Jesus brought the leverage factor into that meal. He made the resources go far beyond what his followers could have ever dreamed. Seeing the Lord leverage my life is a real source of hope.
Need more hope? We have resources waiting for you, including a free devotional. You'll find them at gethoperadio.com. That's gethoperadio.com.
Hi, I'm Abraham Hamilton III, and I am so looking forward to the AFA retreat at Big Cedar Lodge near Branson, Missouri. I'll be among speakers like Sandy Rios, Dr. Ray Pritchard, Ed Vitagliano, and our worship leader will be Dennis Jernigan. I'm especially looking forward to meeting like-minded believers as we share encouragement in Christ in that beautiful Ozark setting.
Join us for the AFA Retreat October 8th through the 11th. For more information or to register, visit afafoundation.net.
It's quite all right for them to be dressed in white, fine linen, clean, because though they're in the army, they don't have to do a blessed thing. All they have to do is watch, and when the Lord speaks, the war is over. I could be in on an army like that, right?
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series Escape the Coming Night, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio, and I'm so excited to have my guest on the line, who is a national security expert, founder and president, and CEO of the Center for Security Policy. He's also he also served under President Ronald Reagan as the Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy. He served as chairman of the high-level group, which was NATO's Senior Political Military Committee, and as the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Nuclear Forces and Arms Control Policy under Assistant Secretary Richard Perle. He was also a professional staff member on the Senate Armed Services Committee. My guest right now is Mr. Frank Gaffney. He's host of Secure Freedom Radio that can be heard right here in American Family Radio from 10 to 11 p.m. Central Standard Time. And you can also hear him on over 200 stations across the country with his commentaries that are called the Secure Freedom Minute. Mr. Gaffney, thank you so much for joining me on the Hamilton Corner today. Are you there? Is he there? Thought we had Frank. Well, if we get him back.
No, I'm right here. I apologize. I was muted. Thank you for that very generous introduction.
No problem. I thought, wait a minute. I thought we had him on, and then we just lost him.
No. I was good to go.
All right. Well, first, as a national security expert, I want to get your reaction to the announcement early this morning of the relocation of the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem in the state of Israel.
Well, my reaction is that it's long overdue and certainly a very commendable step by President Trump. I couldn't be more proud of him. And I think that what it bespeaks on behalf of not only the president, but on our country, is that we are going to stand with our allies. And that's a signal that for the longest time, particularly during the Obama years, wasn't always the case. We treated our enemies worse than our friends more often than not, particularly during the Obama years. And so this marks a very substantial break from that foolish and reckless policy approach. And I think is sending a very powerful signal to both friends and enemies alike that America is back.
Now, as a national security expert, do you think this move has any implications for U.S. national security and even international interactions around the world?
I do. I think that in the first instance, what it does is it signals that the United States is going to be a force for a realistic and prudent sort of policy approach. And I would characterize that as what President Trump and my old boss Ronald Reagan used to call peace through strength. This is a time-tested approach. It has worked when none others have to protect freedom-loving people from enemies who wish to do them harm. And I think that signal, again, is not lost on either our adversaries or our friends. It is the more marked because it is against the backdrop of all of the friends and foes just about saying, don't do it, Mr. President. Don't move the embassy. You can't. It will jeopardize international peace, or at least the prospect for peace between the Palestinians and Israelis. The president rightly understood that was nonsense. And if there is going to be peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians, it will be, I believe, as Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, said, because it's rooted in reality and not in the wishful thinking or worse, the malign intentions of Israel's enemies as well as ours.
Now, the main reason, and I know I kind of just dropped those on you, when we secured this interview, one of the major things we wanted to talk about were the developments in North Korea. And I guess we'll start with the release of the three Americans who, you know, the mainstream media won't talk much about it, who happen to be Christians, one even being a pastor, prior to the June 12th summit in Singapore between Kim Jong-un and President Trump, as well as the apparent overtures from Kim Jong-un to allow the U.S. to inspect a somewhat public denuclearization effort. What do you think is happening with Kim Jong-un? And I ultimately want to get to its relationship with persecution of Christians in North Korea. But before we get there, what do you think is going on with Kim Jong-un with the release of the three Americans and the apparent willingness to denuclearize publicly in advance of the June 12th summit in Singapore?
Well, there are two distinctly different possibilities. One is that Kim Jong-un has undergone a tremendous personal and, as a result, his nation has undergone a national transformation from an adversary of the United States that has endlessly, for decades, talked about wishing to defeat us, to destroy us, and otherwise dominate not only the Korean Peninsula, but I believe much of their region, for that matter. That's one possibility, and I think the president is rightly hoping that's the case, and is proceeding in good faith on the basis that he's willing to test that proposition. I must tell you that the other possibility, which I happen to adhere to, is that nothing has changed other than the necessity that is felt by the current Kim dynasty member Kim Jong-un to do what his father and his grandfather did before in similar circumstances, which is to make it sound as though they were open to these sorts of fundamental changes, but in fact had no intention of actually undertaking them. So the president has made it clear, and I want to commend him for doing so, that, that if he doesn't think the negotiation that he is now going to have on the 12th of June with Kim Jong-un in Singapore is going to be productive, is going to actually advance the agenda of denuclearizing North Korea, he's not going. And if he goes thinking that it is, and it turns out it's not, he's not staying in that summit. So that seems to me to be a pretty prudent approach, and I hope very much that I'm wrong, and that this really is the kind of opportunity for a breakthrough that all of us have hoped for a long time.
Their history indicates that your leanings in terms of likelihood and concerning the possibilities you laid out there would be nothing other than a repetition of what Kim Jong-un's father and grandfather have done with have done to America just when things have gotten lean enough in North Korea in order to try to either get time or to get more resources or what have you, in an effort to kind of really pull a international rope-a-dope, really, on the U.S. in terms of its international relations. Now, you made a point. I'm sorry, you wanted to jump in there?
Well, I would just say that I think that that's exactly right, and that what we've seen time and time again is they've been rewarded for that kind of behavior. They've gotten money. They've gotten fuel. They've gotten other resources, technical support, political help, not just from the United States, by the way, but from South Korea, from Japan and others. And you know, it's been a scam in each of the previous occasions, but it's never been more dangerous than at the moment when they have gone to such lengths to build, in part with the help that they've gotten from us and others, this nuclear arsenal and ballistic missile, you know, inventory with which to deliver it, even to this country. So we've got to get this right this time, and I'm prayerful that both the president and John Bolton and Mike Pompeo, for whom I have the highest regard, will see through this clearly and see us through it clearly and effectively as well.
What types of things, considering this is your area of expertise, what types of things do you think the president will be looking for in terms of communications from Kim Jong-un and in terms of communications from the North Koreans that would give the indication that this is all a ruse to try to continue the North Korean legacy of, you know, continuing that sham on the international stage?
Well, look, I think some of the indicators of that kind of behavior are going to be well known, particularly to people like John Bolton, who've followed these guys very closely for a very long time. I'm of the view that it'll be things like, you know, limiting the kinds of dismantling that will take place, or failing to undertake a full and complete accounting for their inventory of missiles or nuclear arms, or limiting the inspections in ways that will frankly look very similar to what the Iranians, who are of course their strategic partners, it perpetrated and got away with in the Obama bomb deal. So those are the sorts of telltale signs of a lack of seriousness and an expectation that they'll be able to flim-flam us once again.
Now, last week, I was able to get my hands on a press release that your organization issued concerning the persecution of Christians in North Korea and the indications, or should I say the releasing of the three Americans, that includes that all three are Christians and one of them being a pastor. You said that this must lead to an end of Christians being persecuted in North Korea along the whole. Do you think this is an indication of that? Or could this also be a part of the attempted flim-flamming of the presidential delegation?
Well, again, I think it's too early to tell. There seems to be no limiting or reducing of the kinds of pressure that this regime is placing on Christians, or for that matter, anybody else in North Korea. In fact, a colleague of mine just returned from Seoul, where she was participating in the annual North Korea Freedom Week. And as a result of the kind of, sort of deals that were struck between the president of South Korea, a fellow by the name of Moon Jae-in, and Kim Jong-un during their recent, much ballyhooed, highly choreographed summit in the demilitarized zone a couple of weeks ago, there was an agreement that that so-called propaganda from the two sides would not be allowed to disseminated. And that meant, in this case, that the South Koreans were preventing information that the North Korean people need, truthful information, not propaganda, truthful information for Christians and others to sort of help them understand that no one is interested in threatening them. We are all interested in seeing genuine peace on that peninsula. And it just, it's evidence, I think, that the North Koreans are intent on perpetuating the regime and their oppression of Christians and everybody else, for that matter, unfortunately. I hope I'm wrong again. I really hope I'm wrong about this, but that's my reading of it at the moment.
Now, according to Open Doors, the organization that tracks Christian persecution all across the country, some may be surprised to learn Open Doors ranks in terms of nations where Christians are persecuted the most. It ranks North Korea at the top. Would this be an issue raised by President Trump in his conversations with North Korea? Of course, he's discussed the overt goal of denuclearization. But would he press the issue on Christian persecution in his conversations with Kim Jong-un at the Singapore summit in June?
This is the multi-billion dollar question, to be honest with you, and I don't know the answer. I can tell you, having spent a lifetime involved in and monitoring various arms control negotiations, that what very frequently happens is that leaders and for that matter, their top subordinates become sort of obsessively fixated on one thing, and that is getting a deal, particularly getting a deal that ostensibly will reduce a threatening adversary's, menace. And if that's the case, then trying to take very much to heart and to advance the concerns about the people of that country typically goes over the side. That was true during the negotiations with the Soviet Union. It's been true with the various other countries that have engaged in, biological weapons conventions and chemical weapons conventions, multilateral agreements, and so on. And it is almost certainly going to be a temptation in connection with North Korea in this upcoming summit. Again, I'm prayerful that people like President Trump, John Bolton, Mike Pompeo will understand that you can't really have peace, really enduring, meaningful peace with a country that treats its own people so horrifically, because they're unlikely to refrain from threatening ours as well.
Wow, that's profound. It's kind of like, if you have a person who will abuse their own children, what makes you think they'll be good babysitters for yours?
You got it. A very apt analogy. Exactly
that,
right.
That's a very, very good point to bring out. So is there anything that we as American Christians can do to help out persecuted Christians in North Korea?
Well, obviously praying for them is one thing. There are organizations that are trying to help on the ground. There are defectors in South Korea that are working tirelessly to try to get aid and other kinds of comforts to the people being so brutally persecuted. Let's remember why. Christians are singled out for especially awful behavior. It's no fun being a North Korean citizen by and large. I mean, the party and, some leadership are one thing, but if you're just a regular North Korean, you've got a pretty miserable life, even if you're not Christian. But if you have the temerity to believe that there is a God other than Kim Jong-un, well, life is just horrifically hard.
I got to jump in right there, Frank. Thank you so much for joining me on the program. Frank Gaffney, ladies and gentlemen, centerforsecuritypolicy.org is his website.
Okay, so the big question for any decision you're going to make, is this actually going to work? Well, if you've heard about MediShare, which is a brilliant way of sharing healthcare costs, you may have wondered that. Does it work? Well, so did Dr. Stuart Hoover, who initially joined to save a lot of money. The typical family saves about $500 a month. Stuart saved even more.
When we first joined MediShare, we were immediately going from a little over $1,600 a month down to $460 basically a month.
So that's wonderful, but then his wife needed emergency surgery and the bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in, and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared, and the end result of this is this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works, and it's so easy to get your questions answered too, so why not? You can call right now. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23. 855-PSALM-23.
Hi, I'm Will Addison.
And I'm Miki.
From Airing the Addisons on Urban Family Talk.
We'd like to invite you to the Marriage, Family, and Life Conference coming up August 17th and 18th.
The list of speakers is amazing. We have Ryan Baumberger of the Radiance Foundation, Dr. Clarence Shuler of Building Lasting Relationships, Abraham Hamilton III, Pastor Bert Harper and his wife Jan, Stacy Washington, Lonnie Poindexter, Pastor Dexter Sanders, and we'll be there too.
There's a direct attack by the enemy on marriage and family, and babies in the womb are treated like political footballs instead of life. We want to encourage and equip the body of Christ to fight for the restoration of the family. If we can get our families on track, a lot of society's problems could be solved. The Marriage, Family, and Life Conference is from Urban Family Communications, a division of the American Family Association. You can learn more and register at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next. While Republicans and Democrats squabble over how to deal with the illegal alien invasion, the rest of us are in grave danger. Consider what happened to preschool teacher Jessica Parks of Indianapolis. Ms. Parks was critically injured when she was run over by a car driven by an illegal alien. A bus driver and several Good Samaritans gave chase, were able to apprehend the woman, identified as Juana Nunez. But instead of holding the suspect for immigration officers, she was released. Let go! She nearly killed an American citizen on American soil, but the Marion County Sheriff's Department let her go. ICE agents are furious, and they should be. They say Marion County has no regard for the safety of its citizens. So let's review. An American was nearly killed by an illegal alien. Law-abiding citizens captured the illegal, but the Sheriff's Department just let her go. Remember that on Election Day, America. I'm Todd Stearns.
Lord, how increased are they that trouble me? Many there be which rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here in American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. My guest in the last segment was Frank Gaffney. Frank Gaffney, his website is centerforsecuritypolicy.org. Centerforsecuritypolicy.org. And as you heard, Frank Gaffney is a wonderful resource, an expert on national security and international relations, which is why I went to him, you know, because he has some insights. There's nothing wrong when, you know, you don't know everything to get somebody to come on and help you. So thank you so much, Frank, for joining me. And I encourage you to check out his program right here on American Family Radio, 10 to 11 p.m. Central Standard Time, called Secure Freedom Radio. Secure Freedom Radio. We will open the phone lines this segment, so you are welcome to call. The number is 888 888-589-8840. That number again is 888-589-8840. Anything we've discussed so far today is fair game. It's fair game for the conversation. You are welcome to join the conversation. I've been trying to get to this, and I hadn't gotten to it yet. But the state of Iowa made history because last week its governor signed into law a bill that passed its legislature that makes it now the strictest anti-abortion law in the country. When the state of Iowa has now passed legislation that outlaws abortion once a fetal heartbeat is discernible. And I say this all the time. I am always conflicted by these pieces of legislation because on one hand, we're saying that life, the significance of life is at some, you know, particular point, which by necessity says that any life prior to that point is not worth protecting, right? So I'm conflicted on that end. But then on the opposite end, I think any life, as many lives as possible that we can save from the death grip that has become the modern iteration of Molech worship, in my opinion, is good for our country. So Roe versus Wade potentially, once again, could be challenged in the near future because the heartbeat bill, as it's commonly referred to, which has already also passed in Ohio but was vetoed by John Kasich, interestingly enough, most heartbeats are discernible right at about 6 weeks. That's pretty early on in the process. And, of course, Planned Parenthood of the Heartland came out saying that this bill would effectively end abortions in Iowa because the overwhelming majority of abortions are conducted after 6 weeks. You know, so you have that. So I wanted to present that information to you because you can see that noting the things that are happening all across the country, Mississippi passing their abortion law, Iowa passing their abortion law, Tennessee defunding Planned Parenthood in their state budgetary mechanisms. All over the country, you see the drumbeats are intensifying. And I really believe all of this is building toward the potential replacement of another justice on the United States Supreme Court. With these bills being passed now, most likely any challenges that are heard now would not make its way to the higher court until there is another vacancy in potential appointment to fill that vacancy at the Supreme Court. So this is something to obviously keep our eyes on going forward. So I wanted to present that to you to make sure you are aware of what was going on. And again, if you want to be a part of the program, you're welcome to call 888-589-8840. The number again is 888-589-8840. And we will start the callers with Arkansas, where we have Val on the line from Arkansas. Val, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Abe, how are you doing?
I am blessed, Val. I am blessed.
Excellent. Excellent. I listen to your show every day on the way home from work, and it's just, I love it. I absolutely love it. You love the preaching in the beginning of it, and, you know, your topics are always on point, and your guests are great, so that's fantastic. But the only real question I have for you is at the last break that we just went through, mm-hmm. there was a song that was playing yeah. as we went from off the break yes. into the show. Who was that?
Jeff, you can tell us who it was.
Yeah, that's Jason Bellard. You can find that song on YouTube if you just search up Jason Bellard, Psalm 3.
Yeah, he was singing directly
Psalm
from
3.
Yeah, directly yeah. from the text of Scripture, from the psalmist. Yeah. David, actually, writing in Psalm 3.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's what it was. So I have to thank Jeff.
I did. I recognized that. I was like, that's the Psalms. I didn't know yeah. which one exactly it was, but I thought, boy, that is phenomenal. I love it.
Awesome. So, thank you, Val. Thank you for your call. Thank you for listening to the program and for supporting what we're doing here. We greatly, greatly appreciate it. We'll go back to the phone lines now to Tennessee, where Chris is on the line. Chris, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Mr. Abraham Hamilton III.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. As I said on your first program, can't wait until you become the Attorney General of the United States or Supreme Court Justice.
Oh, Chris.
With that being said.
Go ahead.
yeah, I have an agenda, okay? I just wanted to say that I'm so proud of President Trump and what has been done today by moving our embassy to Jerusalem. As I said on Brian Fisher's show, Israel is a unique country. It has its own unique heritage. Yeah. It has its own unique people and its own values. And it is a nation. Yeah. It is its own unique nation. But I just want to reiterate what I said on his program, and that is, it kind of worries me when I hear people talking about, we have done something for Israel and now God is going to bless us. I don't think that we should be seeking reward from God. I think we should be proud as a nation because what has happened was the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. I don't think that, seeking reward for something that we did for Israel is that, really proper. But now if God does see fit to reward us, then we will happily accept that blessing. But it kind of bothers me that people think that they're making a trade-off with God. Mm-hmm. And I just think we should be proud just for doing what needed to be done all along.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for your call and your comment, Chris. I understand exactly what you're saying. I don't know if you're referring to my comments at the beginning of the program or not, but if you heard me, I said I prayed to the Lord that our nation would turn to him in repentance. That is my greatest cry. We are in desperate need as a nation of repentance. Of repentance. That is what we need. And I know people have various, theological and eschatological views on the nation of Israel. But even if you don't even address those particular issues, when you understand that it is a sovereign nation that has a government and a capital, you're able to do, even outside of the theological conversations, which I don't think you should avoid. But what I'm saying is that aside from that, you can see the wisdom in supporting a nation that has been a strident ally for us in the hotbed that has been the Middle East, And so, but I understand exactly what you're saying. Thank you for your call and your comments. And again, I said it earlier and I'll say it again. I think this is a great day. This is a historic day. That it is something that clearly people prior to President Trump have thought it was a good idea. I mean, we had legislation passed by Congress in 1995. But why hasn't there been the equal resolution to actually do it? So those are the questions and the issues that are percolating. So when you see things like this, today is nothing short of a historical day. And I find it very interesting that it coincided, the establishment and the relocation of the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem coincides with the 70th anniversary of the formation of the nation. Can't make that stuff up. Again, if you want to be a part of the program, the number to call is 888-589-8840. The number again is 888-589-8840. We'll go next to Ohio, where Joe is on the line. Joe, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mr. Hamilton, for all that you do day in and day out. We really appreciate it. And this, like you had a great caller earlier, I'd like to kind of piggyback on what he said. We can't, as Christian conservatives, we can't rest on our laurels. Yeah, we've had some gains. Mm-hmm. Moving the capital to Jerusalem was a huge win for the Christians throughout the world. Defunding the gains in pro-life, huge wins mm-hmm. Throughout the U.S. But we've got Trump is just one person. We got to get him some reinforcement.
Yeah.
There's four states that have primaries tomorrow.
Yes,
I encourage all the Christian conservatives to get out and vote. Idaho, Nebraska, Pennsylvania, Oregon. There's some pro-life candidates out there. And if you're a Christian conservative in any of those four states, make sure you vote tonight. Some of them have late polling, early voting. And then tomorrow, usually, 7 or 7:30 a.m. till 7 or 7:30 p.m., we need to get we cannot rest. I mean, believe me, the liberals are not going to take a day off. They're going to push their agenda, day in and day out. They're going to outspend us, but we can still vote. The money votes don't count any more than the Christian votes, so we can still get the evangelical vote out. And Sandy Rios had endorsed Paul Mango as a pro-life conservative in Pennsylvania, so I know you got listeners all over the U.S., so thanks again mm-hmm. for all that you do.
Thank you, Joe, for your call and your comments. You're actually even previewing the show we're going to have tomorrow. We're going to have the AFA Action Vice President Rob Chambers on tomorrow, Lord willing. to discuss midterm elections. The development so far, we had primaries last week. We had primaries the week before. I've said it all the time, the most important, aside from the general election, is the primary elections. The way that we get out of this cyclical deal where you feel like, where some people feel like you have to choose between the lesser of two evils, is to be engaged during the primary. So we'll have some more on that tomorrow. But we'll go back to the phone line now to North Carolina, where Odell is on the line. Odell, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Mr. Hamilton. I've been listening to your radio station. I'm blessed, and people here, we're discussing about you. First of all, I have a comment for you. I thought, the first time I heard you, I said, oh, no, I hope he doesn't look like Chris Rock, because I never liked Chris Rock. Wow. He sounded like Chris Rock. I said, the guy. I said, who's the guy? The guy at AFR. He sounded like Chris. I hope it's not him. So I finally got you on the line. It's like, oh,
nah,
not even a bit.
Nah, I'm not Chris Rock. You can go to YouTube, the Hamilton Corner YouTube page. You can see exactly what I look like.
I know, but you know what, too? It attracts the people. They thought it's Chris Rock. But Chris Rock has, the mother needs to wash his mouth with soap, maybe 12 soap. But anyways, I know. But I am blessed. We are blessed here in a small community here. And I'm piggybacking on the secretary of, your speaker?
Frank Gaffney. Yes.
Your question to him is, what happened to King Jong-un? And I'm Filipino. And so what happened to him is just like, and this is what happened, I believe, and I believe I agree with what he said. And I believe, because this is what happened where I came from in Montana, and a small community there in Great Falls where the Air Force Base. Mm. They have a community of Koreans. That was like about 10 years ago when I was back there. And my supervisor is married to Korean, and I spoke with her. She's Catholic. And then she told me that, don't you know, we have prayer meeting. I said, what prayer meeting? Early in the morning, it starts at 3 o'clock.
So you're saying that you feel like
Korean,
the Kim Jong-un and the others had a, they're having a transformation is what you're saying. You feel like he's having a transformation.
Yes. It's a miracle, I believe, because these people, this group of community, I don't know if they're just the only one, but I believe they're just like spread out the country and ender.
Got it. Thank you very much for your call. I really, really, really appreciate it. We'll go. This will be the last call for today. I'm sorry there are some other people holding. We'll try to get you in if you call back tomorrow, but we'll go next to Mississippi where Molly is on the line. Molly, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Abe. God bless you. And thank you so much. I'm sorry, I'm crying. Thank you so much for being a beacon. And I thank all of my fellow believers as well. I had a question with regards to Israel becoming the capital. I'm sorry, Jerusalem becoming the capital of Israel. And praise God that it is. That it is so. I mean, it always has been. And
I have to jump in, Molly, because we're coming close to the show. But let me say this: Jerusalem did not just become the capital of Israel. It's always been the capital of Israel. What's happened is that the United States has finally officially recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. So that is what's happening. And interestingly enough, President Trump, in his he wasn't in Jerusalem today, but he provided a video remarks for the ceremony. He referred to Jerusalem as the eternal capital of Israel. Now, you know, I could be wrong about this, but if you probably would ask President Trump if he knew anything about Jerusalem being an eternal capital before he got into office, I don't think he would have. But now he's saying it's the eternal capital. Things that make you go,
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.